So we're starting in just a moment. We're just waiting a minute for everybody to come back. Okay, we're doing good for time. It's only 11:45. It's really good. I said to Tim, I don't want you to go over 45 minutes. I want you to keep it short. And he goes, I love being in this church. Short is 45 minutes, you know. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Should we just pray and we could get started then? I suppose the sooner we start, the sooner you get to go home. But it's no good going home and not doing what Jesus said, yeah? So we'll commission you to do. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this nation of Wales, Lord. Father, thank you for all that you've done and said and spoken about this nation. Father, thank you that there's a prophetic word over this nation, that we have hope in a living Savior. Father, we thank you that your word is true and alive and real. And I pray, Lord, that as I try and share it to the best of my ability, your anointing will flow through me and it will touch and change hearts. Lord, we love you and we are so grateful that you love us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, it's St. David's Day. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I don't know if everybody who knows who St. David is, but maybe some of our non-Welsh people will get an education this morning, because I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. But before we do that, we're going to turn to the Bible and look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we're going to look from verse 1, which is the story of Zacchaeus's encounter with Jesus. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried, came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I see some similarities in this story, Zacchaeus and Jesus, with the Welsh nation and Jesus, or the Welsh people and Jesus. And so we're going to look at some of those similarities. But first, St. David. We don't know when St. David was born, but he was born about 500 AD. Legend suggests he was the grandson of Ceredig ab Cynyth, king of Ceredigion. But he devoted his life to serving Christ. That's we do know. He was also a man of miracles. You know, it's written that he raised a boy from the dead by splashing the child's face with his tears. He opened the eyes of a blind man by praying for him. And his most famous miracle was in a place called Llandewi Brevi. I don't even know if I said that right. But it's near Tregaron in West Wales, Mid Wales. And he's preaching and there's this large crowd and not everybody could see him. So they start sort of complaining, we can't see you, David, we can't see you, David. And as he's preaching, a dove comes and lands on his shoulder, and then the ground rises up, so he's above the people, and he preaches the word of God. And he died on the 1st of March, that's why we celebrate his day on the day of his death, 589 AD. And he was a man with a message, and the message was the message of Christ. And, you know, as a nation, on the whole, we have forgotten the message of Christ. And part of what I see our purpose and our vision is to reach the lost. So, you know, we're building a house of love, and part of that is we love our neighbor, we love the outside, we love the world. So we have to have an outward focus to become a house of love. You know, we have an upward focus towards God, we have an inward focus towards one another, but we must have an outward focus as well towards the world. And that's because Jesus calls us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So Wales is in some ways a bit like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was of small stature. Wales is a pretty small country, but they say if you flatten it, it would be bigger than England because of all the mountains. Okay, boom, boom, old joke, I know, but we love the English in this church. And I'm just glad my wife's not here because she'd be sitting there just looking at me to say, behave, behave, behave. So Luke chapter 19, Jesus, this is the last week of his life. He is passing through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. And it's a 15-mile journey from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he decides to stay at Zacchaeus' house. Quite incredible. This is the only person he ever decides to stay at their house. And he says, I'm staying with you tonight, or staying with you today. Zacchaeus is an interesting person. His name means pure. Pure. But his lifestyle was anything but pure. So his name pure, but his lifestyle is just completely contrary to his naming. So you think, you know, when you have your baby, I remember when we had our babies, we named our babies, well, you know what we named our babies, but we had sort of plans and hopes. And back in Bible times, they would use names more deliberately. So you can imagine that when they presented their little boy to the temple, Zacchaeus, and they called him pure, that they had hopes that maybe he would, you know, walk in the ways of God, maybe he would walk righteously. And here he is, a traitor to his people, because he was a tax collector. He wasn't any sort of tax collector. He was a chief tax collector, the Bible says. He was like a senior tax collector over the area. And the way the tax collecting worked in Roman times is the Romans would say, we want this much money from this town. So let's say they'd want 500,000 from the town of Bridgend. And then the tax collector would collect whatever he could collect, and he would skim off the top. The Romans didn't care if he collected 1,000,000 and kept 500,000 to himself and put 500,000 out there. And that's one of the reasons they were hated. Firstly, they would collect for the Romans. The second thing is, more than collect from the Romans, they would skim off the top and exploit the people, and they would collect for themselves. And here's Zacchaeus. He's been doing this for many years, one would imagine, because he's the chief tax collector. And he's rich. The text says he was a chief tax collector and was rich. And the inference is this: he became rich from tax collecting and exploiting people. So here they are, their little boy Pure is despised by his people, barred from the synagogue, considered the scum of the earth because he's working for the Romans and exploiting people for self-gain. He didn't turn out very well, did he? Pure. And it's interesting, when I think about Wales, you know, our nation, you know, it says of Zacchaeus that he was a son of Abraham. So he was a son of Abraham, but forgot who he was. He was lost. He'd lost his way. And he'd ended up working for the Romans and exploiting people and being despised. And kind of our nation's like that. We lost our way. You know, it was interesting. Who will ever forget or who cannot remember? We sang in the song. You know, I'm thinking as we're singing that, the writers that wrote that song in, you know, the turn of the century or last century, it was like, you know, who would ever forget what you've done for us? And yet somehow that their forefather or their children and the generation after them have forgotten totally what God has done for them. How could that be? And excuse me, it's not my purpose to talk about how did we forget God as a nation. But we're like Zacchaeus in that he's forgotten who he was. He's forgotten who his people were. He's forgotten what it is to act righteously. And you know, it's just like out there, people are lost. They don't know what it is to know God. And Jesus comes to a man like Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus on the outside was a terrible man. But the wonderful thing is God doesn't look at the outside, he looks at the heart. And I think that for our nation, it's just like, it's not full of terrible, horrible, awful individuals. It's full of blind people that can't see. You know, the Bible says the God of this age has blinded the eyes of those so they cannot see the glory of the gospel. And I was like that. I was just blind. I couldn't see. I couldn't get it. I couldn't understand it. And then one day, it was like the curtain was pulled away and I could see Christ and what he did for me. And it became all real. And when it's real, it changes your life. And you see here in verse 5, when Jesus came to the place. Now let's back up a bit. Verse 3. Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was little in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree, for Jesus was about to pass that way. And I think there are people always seeking Jesus. They want to know. They want to see him. And sometimes, you know, the church doesn't present him in the best way. Sometimes the church is the problem, isn't it? Or has been in our nation, where I want to see Jesus, so I look at the body of Christ and I think, no, thank you. I don't want any of that. But there's something about seeing Jesus that changes everything. Because we get measured as though we're Christ and we're not Christ. And this group of individuals here, what did somebody call us this morning? We're a bunch of misfits. You know, so you're looking for perfection and you look at me and I'm a misfit. And I'm just trying to do my best and love people, but I'm not perfect. And so are you. And so when they start looking for Christ in us, sometimes they don't see him. But sometimes they do. And when you say you're a Christian at work, people look at you and say, okay, well, what does that mean? And they look to see if you're the real thing. Do you take the fragrance of Christ in you to the workplace or not? Do you live for Christ in the workplace? Or do you just blend in and become like everybody else? I remember when it's a long time since I've worked in the real world. I'm involved in housing, in a housing association, Wales and West Housing Association. And one of the reasons I do that is it takes me into the real world. What I mean by the real world is out of the Christian bubble into, you know, normal people that don't know Jesus. And I enjoy it. And it's helpful and challenges me and so forth. And when I live in a Christian bubble, you know, everybody I see is a Christian unless I make the effort otherwise. But when you're in the real world, people measure you and look at you. And you can blend in, or you can say, I'm going to live for Christ here. When I worked for the council, we used to go for a Christmas meal. Who goes for a Christmas meal? No, just me? Was it just me? So we go over a Christmas meal every year. And every year it would be the same thing. It'd be, come on, Alex, have a drink. And all the boys, have a drink. You know, you can have a drink. And I'm not knocking having a drink. I mean, having a drink, some people enjoy it. I mean, of course, when drink has you, that's a different issue. But I don't drink. But it was just, come on, have a drink, have a drink, have a drink. And it was like with the sweepstake, come on, buy a ticket. And it was like... They treat me like I was some sort of freak that they had to change, you know. But when they needed wisdom and advice, I was a good place to come, you know, because I wasn't like them. And I saw things differently. And you're not like the world. You have something of Christ in you. And there are people around you seeking Jesus all the time. And when they seek Jesus, they look at you. Have a good look. And if you work with them for a long time, they see you, and they'll see you in your strengths, and they'll see you at your weaknesses. But isn't that wonderful that you're the only Jesus some people will ever meet? That you represent him. The Bible says we have this ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. So wherever you go, you represent him to people like Zacchaeus. And it's really important when you come across people like Zacchaeus is you don't judge Zacchaeus. You have no idea. Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged. We're not here to judge people. We're here to love people. You know, I tell the story about the chap that really changed my thing. Well, helped me, really. He wasn't a Christian. He came here. And I said, why did you come here? And he just said, I wanted to come to a place where I would be loved and not judged. I thought, that's a good description of a church I want to pastor. Let's be a church where we'll love people and not judge people. You know, because I don't know their story. I don't know their background. I don't know what's happened. And who knows, I could be in the same situation that they were in if I'd gone on the same journey. But what I do know is I can love people. What I do know is I can choose to love people. I can choose the road of love. And Jesus, incredibly, in verse 5 it says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him with joy. That's just amazing. You know, if we said, who's the person that Jesus isn't going to visit in Bridgend today? I mean, I find it hard to think of anybody Jesus wouldn't visit, to tell you the truth. But, you know, in that culture, because this guy was a traitor, banned from the synagogue, banned for this, banned for that. Jesus went to him. Well, I think that's an example to us. Who would we go to? Would we just stay together in our nice people, or we go to people that are slightly challenging to you or to me, or they have a bad reputation? And Jesus knew where he was, knew he was seeking him, and said, you know what, Jesus? Jesus said, I want to go to your house. This reminds me of Revelation 3, verse 20. Jesus says this, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Anybody who's going to open that door, I'll come in and I'll eat with them. Now, we understand that's written for believers in the church, because it was one of the letters to the churches. I forget which one, but that's the heart of Jesus. If you open the door, I'm going to come in. If you invite me in, I'll come in. We read the Psalm 27. You say, seek my face. I'll seek your face. If you're seeking my face, I'll come in. And this is the Jesus that we have, is that he wants to come in. He wants to eat with us. He wants to be part of our lives. He wants to come in and excuse me, bring us to life. Because he is the life. And he'll go to anyone and everyone that opens their heart to him. And the thing with Zacchaeus is people are really surprised. I mean, they're more than surprised. We'll come to that ever. That Jesus changed Zacchaeus. But you know, Jesus is going to surprise us with the people he's going to bring into the kingdom. He's going to surprise us. And maybe one of your relatives that you think is so far away, they're just this close to getting saved. Or one of your friends, or one of your work colleagues, or somebody who says, I'll never follow Jesus, is just that close to just breaking down at the feet of Jesus. It's just incredible who God will pick and choose and call and go after. And in Jericho, of all the people in the whole city, he chose that one. Now, it's interesting. Of all the nations in Europe, for some reason, and I don't know why, and I don't think it's because we're particularly different, God chose Wales. And for 100 years, there was just these incredible moves of God's Spirit where he shook everything up, changed everything. He chose us. And all over the world, there are people that have debts to our forefathers because they took the Bible and they took the gospel to them. All over the world. I mean, we have, you know, the Korean connections that we have, it's because of Robert Jermaine Thomas. There's a place in Nepal that Sidney Evans went to, Evan Roberts' brother-in-law. They had the same name, but they were brothers-in-law, not brothers. And he went and took the gospel there, and that people responded. And whilst missionaries went all over the world, they're our forefathers. God chose this nation to make a difference in the world. Why did he choose us? It wasn't because we were so wonderful, so righteous, so holy, so lovely. He just chooses people that seek him. And somehow the Welsh people went through a season where we sought God and God was found by us. And I pray that we'll become a nation like that again, where our nation, where the spiritual climate and temperature of our nation changes and we as a people seek God again and start to impact the nations on the world stage with the gospel. Jesus knew exactly where Zacchaeus is. And there's something about knowing where people are that Jesus does. And what God wants us to do is to collide with people. I talk about when worlds collide. It's like I've got a friend that I met in the gym and we got talking. And the first question he asked me when we went out for coffee was this, you know, tell me about your faith. What must I do to become a Christian? And it was just like, you know, 5 minutes ago, we're just in the shower talking about football, talking about the weather, talking about this stuff. But I just thought I'll invite him for coffee. And he goes, yes, okay, let's go. And so we went for coffee. And, it, you know, there are people like that around us. I had no expectation of that at the time. But God wants our worlds to collide. And as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, just that little, you know, Philip did it. Philip was in the busyness of a revival in Samaria in Acts chapter 8. And the Holy Spirit said, move to Gaza, to the Gaza road. And when he gets there, he meets an Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian was seeking Jesus. And he was reading Isaiah 53 out loud. And Philip says, do you know what this means? And he goes, how can I know if I've got nobody to teach me? And then Philip said, well, let me teach you, because I've walked for 3.5 years with the one this is talking about. And at the end of it, it says, what stops me to get him baptized? And they baptized the Ethiopian. He went back to Ethiopia and started a church in Ethiopia. Everybody knows that my favorite restaurant in Bridgend is the New Garden. I think the New Garden is probably the best restaurant in the world. Probably, but you know, I don't know how you measure that. But we go regularly to the New Garden, if we can, although it's not the favorite of my family, so they never want to go. But we went one for lunch, excuse me, and we just say grace. You know, it's like, oh no, Dad's going to say grace and he's going to make an exhibition of the whole family. Let's hold hands. Let's give thanks for the food. Amen. And you know, I say grace when we go out for dinner. And so we did it one time and enjoyed our Chinese food. And soon after, and I don't know, remember what the occasions were, a few weeks later, we did it again. And this Chinese lady came up to us, who's one of the waitresses, and she said, are you Christians? I said, yeah, we're Christians. And she engaged us in conversation. She was an illegal refugee, illegal immigrant. Is that the right word? She wasn't a refugee, she was an immigrant. And she had met a Christian in Southampton where she had come from. And she, anyway, it transpired that we were able to share the gospel with her and that she got saved. And for a very brief window, she was part of our church for maybe 6 weeks. And then she went back. Who knows what God has done with that seed that we put in her? The seed of the gospel, because of Welsh people, just saying thank you at the dinner table, impacting a member of staff. Reinhard Bonnke was at a big banquet with 1,000 church leaders. And he gave this presentation and he was telling the church leaders about the work of CFAN. And he was telling them about this and everything. And he's an evangelist. And at the end of every meeting, he does an appeal. And the Spirit of God was saying, do an appeal, Reinhard. And he goes, but Lord, they're all church leaders. These are church leaders. Do an appeal, Reinhard. And so He says, everybody head bow, and he shares the gospel, and everybody's heads bow. We're going to pray. He prays, and he says, if you'd like to receive Christ, come forward. And then one came forward here, one came forward there, and 50 people came forward. Almost all of the serving team of that hotel came forward to receive Christ. You know, because he just listened to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We just need to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. First thing is to have ears to hear. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. I was thinking about this and praying this, and I was saying, well, Alex, it's no good you telling the church to do this. You need to do it yourself, you know. You know, position, heal yourself. And I took the challenge, and I thought, yeah, I want to do more of this. I want to say, well, Lord, because we get so busy. Who lives a busy life? Anybody? Is it just me? You know, there's about five of us have a busy life, and the rest of you, I don't know what you do, watch too much Netflix, but we get busy, don't we? It's like, I'm so busy that if the Holy Ghost said, stop the revival in Samaria, get in your car and drive to the service station in Porthmadog or somewhere, I don't have the time to do that because I'm too busy. But we need to be like Jesus, know where people are, listen to the go. Well, he knows where people are, listen to him and follow him. Think of the adventures of faith that we could have when we do that. Think of what God could do with us when we do that. And it's not just something for the pastor to do and something for the evangelist to do. We all have the Spirit and God in us if we're born again of the Spirit of God, and we can do something and we can change somebody's life by just being present. If your Christianity is boring, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in new adventures? Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. The crowd grumbled. I'm sure there were some Pharisees there, but it just says they all grumbled. It's not fair, is it? Jesus went to see with him. It's just not fair that Jesus met with him. It's just, and he's a sinner, and he's a tax collector. He's a traitor to his people. We should have nothing to do with him. What's Jesus going down with him for? It's just like all this complaining. Do you know Jesus used to get it a lot? In John chapter 15, verse 1, it says this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. It's kind of like a recurring theme. You know, and if you think, who are the people that we would throw into the Zacchaeus category now? People make judgments all the time. You do it all the time. You look at me and go, look, oh, he looks put on a bit of weight. Alex must be eating too much. Well, how do you know? How do you know I put on weight? How do you know if I'm eating too much? You're making judgments, aren't you? If you're doing that. I mean, the truth is, I am eating too much and I am putting weight on. You don't have to make a judgment anymore. It's true. But. We're not making judgments about morality, like what is right and wrong. I don't need to decide, is murder right or wrong? The Bible tells me if murder is right and wrong. It's making judgments against people, because God is our judge, and God will judge people. You know, and Jesus doesn't judge people, he loves people. You know, and I want us to be a church that loves people. Can you do that? Can you love people more? Well, the answer is yes, you can. But sometimes we've got to go to God and love him more first. Because he says in his word, we love because he first loved us. And it's like when the love of God touches our heart, it's just hard. Do you know, it's like, have you noticed it's really hard not to love Nathan over there, Nathan? It's just like, you know, when the Spirit of God touches your heart for Nathan, he's just a great guy. And it's easy to love Nathan and so forth. And if you don't love Nathan, though, for those of you who don't love Nathan, then all you need is for God to touch your heart. Because love that we're talking about is agape love, which is unconditional. And you know, I tell you this a lot. If I have a problem with a person, it means I need to go to them and love them deliberately. So if I come to you for tea at lunchtime, it's not because of that. So they say, what are you doing with sinners? What are you doing with these people? What are you doing with the retrobates, the prostitutes, the immoral, the this, that? And Jesus, he tells a story. He goes, three parables. And he talks about a lost sheep. And how a shepherd, when he loses a sheep, he leaves the 99 here to go after the one until he finds it. And when he brings it back, he celebrates. And Jesus says, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 that have no need of repenting. Then he tells another story about a lost coin. The woman had 10 coins and she loses one of them. And she sweeps the house until she can find the coin. And when she finds the coin, she invites all her friends over and they party and celebrate. And Jesus says, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 that have no need of repentance. And then Jesus tells another story. The story of a lost son. And he says, about a father that waits for his son, that wastes his life with prostitutes and alcohol, but when he comes back, the father's there ready to receive him. And then probably directing it at the Pharisees at the time and us now, he talks about an elder brother who's just so judgmental towards his younger son, But here's the point. There is more joy in heaven over one person who repents than 99 who have no need of repentance. I was thinking about this. Do you know when you've got... I'm not a dog owner. You know I'm not a dog. We love dogs in this church. Most of you are dog owners. We just attract dog owners to this church. But have you noticed when you've got an old dog and you bring a puppy into the house, it's like the old dog comes back to life, starts to get up a bit, starts to move more, starts to interact, starts to have a bit of joy in his life. You know, he was an old miserable dog. And then you brought the puppy in. And maybe in this church there's a few miserable dogs. And we need to get a few puppies in to bring you guys back to life. And think, it's about the kingdom. It's about reaching people. It's about loving people. It's about pouring our heart and lives into people. There's no dogs in this church, I know. Verse 8. So Jesus goes to his house. He is amazed that Jesus will come to his house. Jesus will go to anybody's house who will open their hearts to him. And he says, he stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. See, Jesus didn't say anything to him. He loved him. He accepted him. He went to his house. And when the presence of Jesus is in us, in our house, then some of the things that were wrong, we start to put right. Do you know, Jesus says this, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. You know, if we have a problem loving or doing the right thing, we just need to fall more and more in love with Jesus. If you love me, you'll obey me, Jesus says. And, you know, we have to realize that people are attracted to the love of God. And we need to show them that love. It says in Romans 2, verse 4, do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? It's like the kindness of God leads people to repentance. We had a friend, you know, when you're a parent and you do school with people, you sort of, primary school particularly, not so much secondary school, you form a sort of, I don't know, social circle that lasts for that period in the main, and then when that period's over, you don't interact much. And this mother of a child in one of the girls' classes used to come to periodic things. And she said this. She said, when I come to your church, it uplifts me because I hear about a God that loves me. And then she said, when I go to the other church, and it doesn't matter what the other church is, they just tell me how much of a sinner I am. And I go away feeling miserable. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to love sinners. And I think the more you come into the presence of Christ, the more you realize how much you fall short of God's glory. And does that mean, Alex, sin isn't an important thing? Sin isn't real? No, sin is very, very real. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you could see my list of falling short, it would be terrible. And even since I became a Christian, I've fallen short. But God's mercy is new every morning. His faithfulness never changes. And we've got to tell people about a God that loves them. And that love, for me, I was saved at a 19-year-old in the Far East. And what convinced me to follow Jesus was I had a vision of how much he loved me. And I wanted what he had to give me. And I also had a revelation that I had to turn from my sins to follow him. You know, you can dally with him, you can be on the edges and so forth, but we do have to turn from our sins. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. There are lost people all around us. You're lost, what does it mean? It's when you don't know your way. And Jesus says, I am the way. Lost is when you can't see. And Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Lost, if you've ever been lost. I was trying to remember being lost. I remember going, when I was a little child, I was out shopping with the family. And I went to take the hand of my mother standing next to me. And I don't know if you've ever done this. You take the hand of the person and it's not your mum. And for just that second, you think, where's your mum? I'm lost. She was just there. It's just the wrong woman. But there's lots of people who don't know where their father is, their heavenly father. And they take the hand of this one and it disappoints. And they take the hand of that one and it brings fear. And they take the hand of this one and it brings pain. And the heavenly father is saying, take my hand. How do I take his hand? The only way to the father is through Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. And we are the body of Christ. And we have a nation with lost people. And one of our primary aims has to be to reach the lost. To seek and save that which is lost. People need saving. They need saving from their sin. They need saving from themselves. They need saving from the darkness. They need saving from the enemy. People need saving. And just in 2 minutes, I'm just going to run through this really quickly. Just 4 things you can do to make a difference. One, you can pray. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. Pray for the lost. 2, you can give time to lost people. Because it takes time to reach people. Make an effort with people. 3, you can serve in the missions activity of the church. I was in first base just Thursday. And I was talking about mission. Mission is coming on the 29th of June. We're starting our mission. And they said, young man, so I haven't got his permission to say who he is, but I just say, this young man says, oh, I could sign up for that. And I just had visions of move-in PA kit. We could use you because we've got PA kit to move and, you know, all this sort of stuff and stacking speakers and so forth. But it's just like, serve. We can serve. Number four, open your mouth and share the good news. Francis Assisi says that you know, he had this saying. I can't remember it, so I won't quote it. But people have to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We can't just be silent. We demonstrate Christ in what we do, but it's the preaching of the word that saves people, the Bible says. There's a story of a missionary, and he was in a foreign land. And this is before printers and everything, and they would get things photocopied at a photocopy shop. And he would go there regularly, and all the missionaries would go there regularly. And one day he's standing there getting his copies, and he says, a lot of foreigners come here to copy, don't they? And the man says, yes, all the missionaries come here. And he was a bit taken aback. And he says, he asked him, have any of the missionaries talked to you about Jesus? And the man said, no. And he went on to share his faith. And it's like, we can be like that. All the Christians come here. All the Christians hang around here. But have any of them talked to you about Jesus? We can talk to somebody about Jesus. Finally this, John 13, verse 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. I think if we're going to reach people, we have to love, and we have to love one another, because that makes us real. And we need the Spirit of God to do that. But that's the challenge. So, you know, on St. David's Day, let's just remember St. David was a man of God that reached people with the love of Jesus. And that you can make a difference in this nation of Wales by loving people, praying for them, making time for them, serving them and sharing the gospel with them. We're all called to this. Should we just stand together as we just close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And Father, I would ask that you would make this church more and more outward looking, that we would seek and save the lost in this nation, that we would be tools in your hand, and that you would use us to love people. Father, your word says it's your kindness that brings people to repentance. And Father, we ask that your kindness would be manifested through your people. And Father, we just love you and just thank you for the honor of living in Wales, the honor of having this ministry of reconciliation, and the honor of knowing you. We love you, we thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. There's tea and coffee.